Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining us, the Reverend Dean Johnson, former chairman of the Board of Regents as well at the University of Minnesota, and of course, legislator. And that's a lot of hats that he's wore over the years. That's why I wanted to bring him into the fold. Dean, happy Easter week to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mike, and happy and blessed, safe and healthy Easter to you and your family, other loved ones, as well as all those listening.
I want you to put your pastor hat on first. When you explained the last year, you lost people in your congregation to COVID, people in your area, friends outside your church to it. When a parishioner comes to you and says, explain what it is that we're going through and what is God's plan in this, what does the Reverend Dean Johnson tell them?
Well, certainly the pandemic, COVID-19, has impacted every human being in our country, state, and community in some form or fashion. And yes, it's impacted us here at Calvary Lutheran Church in Wilmer, where I've served for almost 48 years. And we've had people tell me confidentially they've suffered from COVID. We've had a few in the hospital, and to the best of my ability, I think we've had four deaths in our congregation over the last year due to COVID. When bad things, tragic things, untimely things happen, that is a question. What's God's plan? I don't know the answer specifically for that, but I can point to this week of Holy Week in the Christian community, and that is that all of us are vulnerable to illness and accidents and bad things. But in the ultimate end, upon our demise from this earth, our physical death, that because of Monday, Thursday, of Good Friday, and because of Easter, that we in the Christian community believe that Jesus rose again, and he said, because he lives, we also shall live too, and that I'm coming back. We do not know when, how, where, but he said, I'm coming back that you may be with me. That gives us hope, and that's what this season is about, is giving us hope. Yes, we've been given a certain amount of time in which to live, responsibilities, but it is a season of hope, a season of thanksgiving. On Monday, Thursday, which is tomorrow, there will be foot washing, and that is about being a servant to other people. And on that first Monday, Thursday, Jesus sat with his disciples, and he broke bread, and he drank wine, and he said, this is for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And as a result of that, he said, we are to love one another. Now, that is the crux of the matter, to love one another in our time, place, and culture today, because we are so divided, we have so many different opinions. And that is the challenge. We as God's people, however, whatever denomination, whatever you believe, ultimately it's to love one another in different avenues and different respects. Now, our country continues to have differences of opinion, politically, race-wise, economics, all of those things. I'm a believer that's the church is one of the institutions, along with educational institutions, that can begin to bring us together. How do we do that? We begin to try and understand other people, how they live, what their culture, what their history is. And you know what, Mike? None of us are all right, and none of us are all wrong. We all have to give a little bit and compromise in this culture and society.
Yeah, so you know that from serving politically for so long as well. You can't get it done unless you meet halfway, right?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, having given the privilege to serve 28 years of legislature, compromise, getting along, respecting other people's opinion is a big thing. And the political parties today have decided, and both of them have decided, they're both right. You know, and damn the torpedoes, and we're going to embarrass you, we're going to beat you up, we're going to get even with you. Well, that's all childish behavior, and the public is tired of it. They want to know what is good for our country, for our citizens, and for the good of the order. Sometime, someplace, we're going to turn the corner. I don't know when, but politically, we need to get back to the greater middle. I call it where 75% of the people are in the middle, and we solve problems and we move forward.
You know, no justice, no peace, of course, has been the theme as people have marched and protested in Minneapolis. And everybody has maybe a different perception of what's justice and what's not. We all feel it differently. When somebody comes to you and they says, I have been treated unjustly, perception being reality, that's the way they feel, right, wrong, or in between. And many times they have been. What do you tell them when there's been an injustice served in their life?
Injustice equates to I've been hurt, I've been disappointed, I have been wronged. And when we as human beings feel that way, it turns into reality. And it takes a good long time to be able to move through that. In the matters of race, we have, over the history of our country, had some very difficult periods of time. And I don't know, I can't say this, that the good Lord has his hand in this whole thing with George Floyd, but it certainly has raised the issue of racism that now people are talking about more and more. We all have our opinions about it. But to feel that you are not being treated justly gives one that eerie, eerie feeling. Now, here's the crux of the matter. One person may feel they're treating another person justly, and that person may feel otherwise, and there's a difference of opinion. And
yes,
rather than just say, well, we differ on this and move on, we got to take it to the next level, and I want to get even with you. I want to harm you. Well, we have to move through that, Mike. And
that's one of the hardest things to do in life, isn't it? Because we want to get even.
Absolutely. I see it all the time in marriages, in families, in cultures, in politics. And as I said in my homily Sunday, for Dean Johnson to get even with everyone that I believe that has harmed me or treated me unjustly is going to take a long time and too much energy. It just takes too much energy and too much of my time, and rather than being creative and positive about life. And so one says, yeah, I've been unjustly treated. I've learned from it. Lessons learned. Life is about lessons learned. And then moving on. And then to say to that person or to that situation at some point in time, that didn't feel right. It was hurtful. And I just want you to know that. And then you move on. But oh my goodness gracious, today I'm going to get even. I've seen families, good families, just break up over politics and over race issues, over religion.
Yeah. And heaven help us if you've got a different recipe for lutefisk that they think is better, right?
that's right. Well, if you announce you're going to start lutefisk, why half the family wouldn't show up.
You know, I want that. We just had Governor Carlson on, and I want to ask you one. Put your Board of Regents hat on for a minute. You know, we've seen athletic department's budgets ripped apart through this pandemic, and you're wondering what's next. But the other thing that it calls into question, I think, is the excess money spent by athletic programs, NCAA sanctioned programs, because they benefit so much from football and basketball, and they're able to do things. And I'm not just talking about the football and basketball programs here. I'm talking about the non-revenue sports, the travel, the number of coaches, all the things that they get to do that you look at and you say, you know, is that really necessary in the functionality of an athletic program and what a university is supposed to stand for? And I think that's really stood out as we've looked at these budgets and we've examined it maybe for the first time, a lot of people. What is your thought on that going forward in terms of, has sports and athletic departments at colleges become such a part of capitalism in the U.S. that they don't even realize how excessive they are and how lucky they are?
Well, it goes back to this. Tell me what parent doesn't want their son or daughter to do well athletically or in music or whatever. That's who we are. That's a good thing. And oftentimes parents and grandparents live vicariously through their children and grandchildren, and they want them in athletics, and they'll spend X number of dollars at the high school level, amateur level, send them to camps. You just ramp that up even more at the collegiate university level. And so what we have, you know, the Power Five conferences, which in my opinion, which really doesn't matter, are going to rival the NCAA authority pretty soon. There's 313 colleges and universities in the NCAA, but you take the Power Five conferences, and one day they may just say to the NCAA, we don't need you anymore, keeping in mind that the NCAA basketball tournament is the most profitable sports venue in America, more profitable than the Super Bowl, the World Series, whatever. That revenue stream has been cut into. So let me back up. Parents tell me, I want my son and daughter to do this. I said, statistically, your child is one of 1,200 sons or daughters that will ever sign a professional contract to earn a dollar. One out of 1,200. So we have to put these things in perspective, and what this COVID has done is forced us to take a step back and ask the question, what place does athletics play in our society? I'm quick to add, the University of Minnesota, we're honored to serve as a regent, their athletic budget's $125 million, no tax dollars, no tuition, has to come from other avenues of revenue. That's outside about close to $4 billion of the general revenue that the university has. They're going to be pressed going forward how to raise that money. And athletics may look different in the next 5 to 10 years going forward. Bottom line, it's all driven by the public, what the public wants. And presidents, athletic directors, regents are going to have to assess it going forward in Minnesota and across the country.
Last question for you. As someone that preaches, that attends events and all those things, what is the difference? What is human nature? What have we learned about being able to go to a church service in person versus online? Online, you can preach the same service. To me, I love being there in person because I feel something that I can't explain. But what have you learned about that, about how we need each other and the energy that we draw from each other just from being in each other's presence?
Well, you're exactly right. There's something to be said for the body and the communion of saints, God's people gathering together, seeing others, shaking their hands, smiling, encouraging one another, praying together, singing together. There's something to be said for that. In a time of COVID and Zoom and all that, I expect that most church-going people across the land are much like folks here in Wilmer Dean. I really like sitting at home in an easy chair, drinking my cup of coffee, watching church on TV. Not sure I'm coming back. if I've heard it once, I've heard it 50 times. Well, last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and quite a few people did get out of their easy chair. And again, it's a organization, institution is changing. I just read the morning poll about church-going people. For the first time in our country, there's less people now belonging and attending church than there are attending church. 47% say they actually belong to a church. That means 53% don't. So the church, as we know it today, whatever denomination, is in for some changes as well. To your question, it was really good to see a couple hundred people sitting in the pew at Calvary Lutheran Church as opposed to taping on a Friday afternoon for a playback on a Sunday. And we're slowly getting back, if you will, because people are being vaccinated. They're a little more adventurous and want to come back. Same with athletic events. We see that on the...
Yep. Hey, Dean, I'm up against it. I got to let you go, but happy Easter. Happy Good Friday. Have a good service on Sunday, and thank you so much for giving us some time.
Very good. Thanks, Mike. Blessings to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.